back at the beginning of the Baptist's ministry, as soon as Jesus came to be baptized, John pointed out to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It was also John the Baptist who heard the Father's voice as the dove descended upon Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Now, at the end of the Baptist ministry, when he is sitting in prison waiting to be executed, it looks like he's lost his faith. But I think what's really happening is that he is handing over the remainder of his disciples to Jesus, because he's not asking on his own behalf. He has them ask on their own behalf. Are we to look for another? And Jesus makes a remarkable statement. Basically, look around you. Look what's happening. That these are all signs that we read in the prophet Isaiah are fulfilled in the gospel. The deaf hear, the dumb speak, the lame walk, the dead are raised. These are all signs of the presence of the Messiah. And this is no longer a theoretical, it's going to happen later in the future. It's happening now. The Baptist disciples can see and hear all these things for themselves. So they no longer have to take John's word for it, "Behold the Lamb of God." They can see for themselves that Jesus is not just the Messiah, but is God. Because the prophet Isaiah says that it is God who will do these things. So that Jesus is not only the fulfillment of the promise, but that God has done so in a very radical way. That he's not sent someone else to save the world. That he has chosen to do it himself. Now, when we look at the world, we can do this in any age, because there's always things going wrong, you know, in the world. You have only to look at the newspaper or look at your news feed to see that things are not all right in the world. But it's always been the case. Our day is no exception. But what is important to remember is that it was worth saving, that God chose to redeem the world, to reconcile it to himself. He didn't just toss it all away and say, you know, I'll start again. No, that there was something in the world, in us, that God saw fit to save. So that when we look out at the world or even look into our own hearts, it's not a time to get discouraged and to lose hope. There might be a lot of darkness out there or in here, but it's still worth saving. God still chose to come among us, to become incarnate, to preach, to teach, to heal, to die, and to rise so that we might be reconciled to him. So this is the joy that flavors our liturgy today. You know, we get a little break from the purple today for a little bit of rose, not pink, thank you very much. That we get a little levity, a little lighthearted, so that we can continue our preparations because, as St. James said, the judge is at the gates. So when we look out into the world, we don't need to spend time judging one another. Gosh, if we did that, Twitter, Instagram, and most news feeds would go out of business if we stopped judging one another. Advent is a time for us to focus on the actions of God, of what God has done and continues to do within our world to save us, to redeem us. It's not a time to grow sad and dark because evil still exists in the world. We know that such will be the case until the end of time. But we also know that God has acted definitively, that that's in the past. Jesus' first coming, his passion, death, and resurrection is behind us. So what we await in the meantime is the fulfillment of that hope, when that full manifestation will happen, when he will finally bring to completion what he has begun in the world and within each one of us. So as we continue our Advent journey, we look in hope for what God has done and what God continues to do. We look for those beacons of light. We look to encourage one another in goodness, in holiness, and in justice, so that we might be that people that he has called us to be, to walk with heads held high, not bearing ourselves, our own light, but bearing the very light, the very hope of God that we receive and in turn we give to others.